بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم فإذا سويته ونفخت فيه من روحي فقعوا له ساجدين وقال الله قال الله تبارك وتعالى في حديث أسأل إخلاص سر من سري أودعه في قلب من أحببته صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد
إخلاص and sincerity is one of the greatest ni'mat and blessings of Allah and one of those blessings which are the most rarely found on in this world. Some of the blessings of Allah are such that they are widely witnessed, whereas some other blessings are rarely witnessed in this world. Not because Allah is a bakhil and miser. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. Allah is above and beyond all those bad and condemned attributes. But actually because of the fact that there are very few humans who deserve to receive that blessing. And ikhlas is one of those few blessings which are very rarely found because the buyers of this blessing, the clients of this blessing are very few. In the hadith of Allah, he says to the Prophet that al-ikhlasu sirrun min sirri. Ikhlas is a secret. Sincerity towards Allah is what we are talking about tonight. Ikhlas is a secret from my secret. Udi'uhu, I give it to a person, man ahbabtuhu. Udi'uhu fi qalbi man ahbabtuhu. I give it to the heart of the person I love. So we discover in the light of the hadith that any person who is mukhlis and sincere towards Allah, he He has the nur and divine light of this value in his qalb, is a beloved servant of Allah, is waliyullah, is one of the awliyaullah. Now you can understand how important the value of ikhlas is. And obviously, the mukhlaseen, ikhlas itself also has darajat and levels. And the higher level is what is called mukhlaseen, with the fatha and zabar over the lam. And that's where a person is supposed to reach, a mu'min is expected to reach in the to the level of mukhlas. Someone who is actually purified by Allah. So when we have this kind of ikhlas, our scholars say that the simplified definition of ikhlas and sincerity is that you remove the khalq, you removal of the creation between you and Allah. Just remove every creature away, you know, in the middle, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just you and Him, that's it. Removal of the entire creation in the middle. So we don't even think about anyone or anything when we are doing any ibadat and worship. That's called ikhlas, including the niyat of ikhlas itself. So our scholars of akhlaq say that even if a person has the intention, I am doing this, praying this two rakats of prayer so that I can become mukhlas. This is not called ikhlas, because the I is still remaining. So that I can become mukhlas. So you are still considering yourself to be there. Is it right? This is not the essence of ikhlas. The essence of ikhlas is that you don't even look at yourself any longer. All you look at is Allah. So don't even intend so that I become mukhlas. Just intend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. That's the real ikhlas. So we find that mukhlaseen are mahbub and beloved servants of Allah. And all the prophets of God are His beloved servants. All the awsiya and the deputies of the prophets, the imams, all of them are the beloved servants. And obviously we have the darajat among the prophets. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. So Allah has given fadilat and superiority to some messengers over the other. And likewise, it's true for the awsiya and his deputies and imams, that obviously not every deputy of every prophet is on the same level. So we find that the angels of Allah, when the issue of creation of Prophet Adam was brought forward, the angels of Allah were looking at the zahir only. And the angels of Allah were ignoring the batin, not paying attention to the batin. The angels of Allah were paying attention to their own ibadat, which our scholars and urafa say this is the hijabun khas. Hijab is of two types. Hijabun am, which means the khalq, the creatures. Remove the hijabun am, remove every creature from the middle. And hijabun am, this is hijabun am, the general curtain. And we have hijabun khas, which means the specific curtain. That means stop paying attention to your own ita'at and obediences and karamat and good deeds that you have performed. Stop paying attention to all that. Just remove it from the middle and focus on nothing but Allah. This is called hijab al-khas. Lots of people, there are very few people who are able to reach the level of ikhlas. But among them, among those precious few who reach the level of ikhlas, they are fewer people who are able to remove the hijab al-khas. Because when we start doing the worships nicely, some people start looking at their own ita'at and obedience and get stuck in that level and become unable to remove that specific curtain of paying attention to their own personal ibadat and worships and obediences and karamat, and thus they get stuck and not get elevated to the higher level. This is called hijab nurani. Just like Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi, he's a ustaz al-urafa. So many of his students are urafa today, isn't it right? This teacher of 350 plus mujtahids. Ustaz al-fuqaha, he used to say that ilm hijab akbaras. Knowledge itself, knowledge is a nur of Allah, isn't it right? Imam Sadiq al-Islam has already said, kafi. Al-ilmu nurun, ilm is a divine light. Yaqdifahu Allahu, Allah drops it into the heart of the person he, yaqdifahu Allah fi qalbi man yasha, in the heart of the person he wishes. So ilm is a nur. So ilm hijab akbaras, ilm is the biggest hijab. This is a hijab nurani. It is the biggest of all the hijabat which are nurani. So if I start paying attention to my salat, how nicely I pray, this is one hijab nurani. If I start paying attention to my fastings, how much fasting did I do in my life? What a nice person I am. This is another hijab nurani, which is hijab khas, not hijab am. If I pay attention, but the biggest hijab which is nurani is the ilm. If I consider myself to be such a big shot, I know so much. Nobody can know more than me. Nobody knows more than me. This kind of behavior is not only hijab-e-khas, but also it's istikbar and arrogance in front of Allah. So the angels of Allah were actually looking towards their own obedience. Because when they said to Allah, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا, are you going to put on earth the one who is going to do mischief? That means, in other words, I'm paraphrasing all these ayats and narrations, that you are creating the human being on the planet earth which is going to spread mischief on the face of earth. Whereas we, the angels, نَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ لَكَ نُقَدِّسُ لَكَ وَنُسَبِّحُ نَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, we do your tasbih, we glorify the praise of yours, and نُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, and we hold you مُقَدَّس, we sanctify you. So basically, they are looking towards their own
ibadat now,
and they are mentioning their own ita'at in the presence of Allah. Now Allah said to them, usjudu li Adama. That means prostrate in front of Adam. Do sajda in front of him. So that our urufa says, so that the value of their own sajda is removed forever from their eyes. Stop considering yourself to be superior than Adam forever. So that's exactly what happened, you know. On one of the occasions, this is narrated, you know, somebody asked Jibreel to move forward, and he said, since the time Allah commanded us to do sajda towards Adam, inna la nataqaddam ala al-adamiyyin, we never take a step forward over the humans. Look at how Allah taught them to learn the lesson. So stop looking at the zahir and pay attention to the batin. So we find that Adam alayhi salam did not do a sin. Isn't that right? That was the Tarkul Awla. Just if you want to liken that thing to something of the Sharia today, although that time was not Alamut Tashri', the world of legislature and Sharia, do's and do nots, did not begin yet. So he did not do a haram. If you want to liken that behavior to something of the world of Sharia, Alamut Tashri', we will call it a makruh. Something that if you avoid it, you get the sawab. If you do it, you are not punished. That's called makruh. Tarkul Awla can be likened in the world of Sharia to makruh. So, asa adamu rabbahu. When Quran says ghawa, the word ghawa is in the meaning of khaba. That means he missed out on the reward. So he couldn't get the reward. He didn't do a sin. So we find that Adam alayhi salam is a mukhlis and sincere servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam is one of the mahbub. He is a khalifa of Allah. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifatan. He is the khalifa of Allah. And the angels, all of them, vidaw fa sajada al malaikatu kulluhum ajma'un. All the angels, you know, without exception, did the sajda towards him. Now we have hadith from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam informing us that this sajda, about this sajda of the angels, that this sajda was kana lillahi ubudiyatan. This was ubudiyat and worship towards Allah, wa ta'zeeman wa ikraman lana. It was a means of paying respect to us. So Allah is asking the angels to bow down, do the sajda, prostrate in front of Adam, so that they would do the worship towards Allah and show their respect towards the noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, which is found in the sulb and lineage of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. This is the greatness of this noor. That's why our scholars say this sajda actually belongs to the maqame insaniyat. That means the position and status of the perfection of humanity. Allah was actually asking the angels of God to bow down in front of that position which belongs to the perfect humans. So bow down in front of the greatness of the perfect humans. Maqam of Kamal al-Insaniya. That Maqam al-Insaniyat was actually Masjood of Malaika. Obviously, it's the Ubudiyat of Allah, we already said it. So we find that this Maqam, this Kamal al-Insaniyat is so high. Mansur al-Dawaniqi, La'natullahi alayh, who poisoned Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he gathered 70 magicians from the city of Babel in Iraq, which was a home of magic since long, and in order to insult Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So when, and then he sent his people to bring the Imam. So these people used to keep on, these Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas, La'anatullahi alayhim, used to bring the Imams forcibly every now and then to try to insult them, to demean them. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was brought by his people, and when he came, Imam alayhi salam saw these magicians sitting there, and they have made animals, you know, faces, shapes of animals sitting next to them. Each magician has made those animals, animal-like forms, sitting next to them. Imam, when he had a look, he said, woe to you. You know who I am? I am the one, I am that Hujjat of Allah who cancelled the magic of your ancestors in the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. The blessings of the Anbiya were coming through the noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, isn't that right? All the blessings that all the Prophets of God received, other than the Holy Prophet, they were receiving through the noor of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Didn't Imam Ali alayhi salam say, "Kuntu ma'al anbiya'i sirran wa ma'a rasulillahi jahran"? I was with all the Prophets of God, in other words, I was with all the Prophets of God hiddenly and with Rasulullah openly. So all the Prophets were receiving the blessings from the noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. They are the wasitatul faiz, the means of transferring of every blessing of God through the entire universe, including the Prophets. So we find that if you look at the book Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayhi has written, Misbahul Hidayah ila al-Khilafati wal-Walaya, a wonderful book on the subject of the Imamat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And in that book he has mentioned in the beginning and at the end, mentioned twice, that this book should not be read by the regular people who cannot digest the contents. So this book is intended to be for some high-level scholars who can understand what he has mentioned. So in that book, he says very much bluntly that if someone wants to put it in these words, it is okay to put in these words that if someone wants to say that all the prophets of God were sent down to pave the way for the arrival of the final prophet, so that the final prophet is given the right to invite truly and completely towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has said the right thing. Because none of the prophets of God reflected Allah in all of his attributes and all of his names, other than our holy prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Please say salawat. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, it's narrated in our authentic sources that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was the madhar of only two names of Allah. That's it. Only two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, he used to make the dead people alive, and he used to give the shifa to those who were suffering from leprosy. Whereas the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are the madhar of all the sifatul jalal wal jamal, all the names, all the names of the majesty and names of the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no comparison. You know, la yuqasu bi'ali Muhammad. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, la yuqasu bi'ali Muhammadin ahadun min al-khalq. None of the creatures can be compared to Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Wa la yusawwa bihim man jarat ni'matuhum alayhi abada. And the person who receives the ni'mat through the Ahlul Bayt cannot be paralleled to the Ahlul Bayt. When you are receiving the ni'mat through them, you cannot be paralleled to them. Obviously, which means that they are superior. Whenever you get the ni'mat from someone else, that someone has to be superior from you. He gets the ni'mat ahead of you, isn't it right? It's through him that you are getting the ni'mat, not you directly. So anyone who gets through them is inferior to them. So we find, coming back to the point, that Imam alayhi salam, when he said to those magicians, do you know who I, do you recognize who I am? I am the Hujjat of Allah who made the magic of your ancestors battle in the time of Hazrat Musa. And then he asked those pictures, those shapes of animals sitting next to each magician, take them and eat them. And all those pictures got converted momentarily into animals, and they ate up all those magicians who were sitting next to each of those shapes and pictures of animals.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Harun al-Mansur al-Dawaniqi lanatullah alayhi, who was sitting on his takht, on his throne, he got unconscious, fell down from his throne. And after a while, when he woke up, and he started to beg to the Imam, please forgive me for this. It's a big insult of the Imam, what he did. They have been doing insults over and over again, nothing new. So Imam al-Islam said, I forgave. And then he said, okay, can you please bring all these magicians back into life? And Imam said, if the asa of Hazrat Musa had brought the magic of Fir'aun back, they would also have brought them back. You are never going to see them again. Say salat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So we find that all the prophets of God and all the awsiya and imams are beloved servants of Allah. And in order for us to be beloved, we need to avoid zulm in our lives. We need to avoid the zulm in our lives. And zulm in the dictionary of Quran is divided into three categories. Zulm towards Allah, which is shirk. Inna shirka la zulmun azeem, Quran says. And the second category of zulm is وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Violating the hudud and the limits of Allah is zulm. Whoever violates the hudud and limits of Allah has done zulm on himself. So, and also doing zulm, third category of zulm is doing oppressing the rights of other people. If somebody oppresses the rights and hukuk of other people, he is also a zalim. And also the Quran says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. The one who does not do tawbah, they are the ones who are the zalim. So our scholars of akhlaq say, not doing the tawbah after the sin also entitles us to be called zalim. Also the Quran has said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Whoever does not do hukum according to what Allah has revealed, they are also zalim. They are the ones who are zalim. Two people come to you, they have a conflict, and they make you as their judge. Isn't that right? And if you give a decision, a verdict, which is not according to what Allah has revealed on the qalb and soul of the Prophet, your decision is not in sync with what Allah has revealed on the soul of the Prophet. If you give a verdict which is between any conflict of two people, which is not in sync with the verdict which was revealed in the wahi and revelation on the soul of the Prophet, then you are a zalim. So Quran has already announced its policy, أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ. Remember the story in the time of, Harun al-Barmaki? Harun al-Barmaki learned that there is a person in his government who makes nice pens. Right? Nice pens. In those days they used to make pens of wood, wooden pens to write down. So this person was brought into the palace and he was requested to make pens, three pens for the ruler. And he made very nice pens, he carved the pens, and after when he gave it to the ruler, and after that he was returning back. As he was about to step out of the darbar, the palace of Harun al-Barmaki, all of a sudden this person, he stopped, he turned around, went straight to Harun al-Barmaki and grabbed the pens from his hand and broke all the three in front of him. And he was shocked. What did you do? He said, I was getting out of your palace as if someone recited this ayat of Quran in my mind. أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ. Gather the ones who did the zulm and their counterparts. وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ, and what they used to worship. So I end up thinking, if you write something zulm with the pen that I carved for you, tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, I will also be resurrected with you and will go to the same destiny where you will go. Because you are a zalim, in other words. Isn't it right? So this is a very big lesson for the mu'mins to remember. We are talking about
ikhlas, not to have how to become beloved towards Allah. So we avoid every form of zulm that is taking place in our life. So that's how we become close to Allah. Inna Allah la yuhibbu al-zalimeen. Allah does not love the zalimeen. In order for us to become beloved to Allah, we have to avoid the zulm. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His beloved servants. And like I said last night, He never leaves His beloved servants alone. He has His own ways of guidance. In the time of Prophet Musa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, we find that this person was, Allah sent His wahi to Prophet Musa to go and meet such and such person in such and such place. This person had been worshipping Fir'aun for 200 years. In old days, people used to have long lives, isn't it right? 200 years this person was worshipping Fir'aun. And he's my servant. He's showing strange behavior towards me. So tolerate the harm that you receive from him for my sake. Look at how Allah is dealing with his beloved servants. Person who has done shirk towards Allah for 200 years. But look at the mercy of Allah. He's sending his messenger to him to still guide him. So Musa went there and he started to use bad language to Prophet Musa. He tolerated. And after he was done, Prophet Musa said, how long have you been worshipping, in other words, doing this shirk? He said, 200 years. He said that you should do the tawheed, come on Allah's side. In other words, if you come to Allah's side, then you know, you will get the ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person, sometimes a time arrives that things click in the mind of the people and they start thinking and pondering is another great ibadah in Islam. The Prophet has said in his hadith, fikru sa'atin, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please say thinking for a while is better than ibadat and worship of 70 years. Just imagine a person worshipping and piling up his ibadat and he doesn't know what's the status of his ibadat. So you know the status when you think and you start thinking, you will realize what is right from what is wrong, if you think on the right lines, isn't it right? And that's how you will correct. So you do one thing but do it right. Instead of doing a lot of things but you don't know whether they are right or not. So, fikru sa'atin khairun. I would like each one of the brothers and sisters and especially the youth here to remember this tradition of the Holy Prophet. So we find that this person started to think. And when he thought to himself, you know, thinking about the affairs of Allah's ibadat in Islam, so he started to think, and he said to Prophet Musa that teach me the kalima, in other words, so I can become a Muslim. Taught him the kalima, he became a Muslim, and we find that Allah started giving him ni'mat. And we find this long narration, which I'm skipping the details of that narration. So we find that when Fir'aun get to learn about this person of his, one of his clients has been taken away. These people are running their business, isn't it right? They're running this like a fortunate business. Any religion that does not take its roots from the revelation of God, the pure revelation of Allah, is nothing but a business. And there are those people who are preaching religions which do not take their roots from the pure revelation of Allah are nothing but businesses. So we find that Prophet Musa guided this person, Fir'aun learned about this person, and then he brought this person to his palace and commanded to prepare a huge pot, put some oil in it, started to boil the oil in front of the people and said, I'm going to throw you into this pot, the burning oil. So we find in the narration that when he was about to throw this mu'min who recently became a mu'min, Jibreel alayhi salam came forward, Jibreel came and took him away. So we find the second time he tried to grab and throw him again second time Jibreel took him away. For the third time it did not happen. We find for the third time he said that this body of mine which has worshipped you for 200 years, this is what it deserves, it should burn down. So it's the rahmat of Allah when the bala arrives on some person. We should never consider the bala to be nikmat and azab over a mu'min. The right al-bala'u lil mu'min imtihan, then he says bala and test is an imtihan for a mu'min. Walil kafir azab, it's an azab and punishment for a kafir. Walil anbiya'i daraja, it's a level of, for the prophets, it's a means of elevation of their levels. So we find لا لن تكونوا مؤمنين حتى تعدوا البلاء نعمة والرخاء نعمة. You people will never be mu'mins until and unless you consider the bala of Allah to be a ni'mat and blessing, and the rakha, that means happy times, to be a punishment of Allah. Ni'mat. So it's the condition of us to be called mu'mins that we start considering the bala of Allah to be a ni'mat of Allah in our favor, and the happy times that we are facing in our lives, if we are facing the happy time, to be an azab and nikmat of Allah. This is the sign of a mu'min, because dunya is a prison. Didn't Imam Sadiq alayhi salam say al dunya sijnun lil mu'min wa jannatun lil kafir? Dunya is a prison for a mu'min and a jannat for a kafir. So we find this person was finally thrown. It's the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was thrown into that burning oil and Hazrat Musa started to cry. When you look at that, obviously the mu'min is dying. So it is a sorrowful situation. He started to cry. And when he cried, he find Allah asked him to look up. And Musa looked up and he was shown the status of that mu'min sitting there present inside the paradise. And Hazrat Musa saw him inside the paradise with all those blessings which were there, he became happy. Please say salawat.
So this is about the ikhlas. How much sincerity we have in our ibadat. So we find that when Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are fasting, and when the time of iftar comes, a person knocks at their door, the door of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most generous door in the house in the city of Medina, and he says that I am a miskeen person, I am a destitute, broke person. We find Imam Ali alayhi salam, not only Imam Ali gives away his bread, Hazrat Fatima also gives away her bread, Imam Hassan also gives. If a sinner like me was there, I would have said that, well, if one person is giving the bread, that's it. He's one person, so what? Why the rest of the people give their bread? Let's keep some for ourselves. Well, look at the highness of Ahlul Bayt and the Ithar, ignoring their personal needs for the sake of the needs of others, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't even want anyone to thank them. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. The reason why they are giving food to these people is just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't want even gratefulness from those people.
And even Hazrat Fitra salamullah alayha gave her bread. Everybody gave their bread. On the next day, and next day they were fasting again. Again, if the sinner like me was there, I would have said, well, I'm hungry, so what? Let me not fast tomorrow. Isn't it right? It's not wajib anyways, so let me not fast. that this is the greatness of Ahlul Bayt rahim as-salam. That's where the whole world learns what Islam is from them, what Ithar is, what Ikhlas towards Allah is. On the next day when they were about to break the fast, the time of Iftar came and they were all hungry from yesterday. And next day, another guy knocks at the door that I am an orphan person. I am hungry, need food. So again, they didn't do ta'wil and toji and furnishing excuses. We are hungry too if you are hungry. So what? Go work hard and find it. They gave away not just Imam Ali, but Hazrat Fatima and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain and Hazrat Fidla. Everybody gave away their entire food without hesitance, without thinking twice. On the third day, they were also fasting. And they did the fast. This is the azamat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. When they're fasting and the time of iftar comes and the person knocks at the door, then I'm an asir. I was a captive, I was recently relieved from the jail and I'm hungry. And third day, when they are already hungry from last 2 days, but they still gave away their entire food to the asir person. And that's where we find when this kind of ikhlas and behavior happened from Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet came into the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam.
Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
And that's where we find the Surah Al-Dahr was revealed in the fazilat of Ahlul Bayt. What is the greatness of Ahlul Bayt? No one can understand, no one can measure. In such a household, we find a personality, the household of ikhlas and taharat, we find a personality like Abul Fadl Abbas is born. In the household of ikhlas and ithar and taharat. Such a great personality. When Imam Ali al-Islam was passing away, he gave the hand of everyone into the hand of Imam Hassan al-Mustafa alayhi salam. Imam Hassan is the upcoming Imam and Wali and Mawla. So everybody's hand has to be given to him. Everybody has to be obedient to the Imam of their time. Everybody must be under the walayat and imamat of the Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, who is now the commander-in-chief of the entire universe and the Khalifa of Allah after Imam Ali alayhi salam. But he did not give away the hand of one person. And Hazrat Umm al-Baneen asked, and that's where my Mawla gave the hand of Abul Fadl Abbas into the hand of Imam Hussein. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is giving a message to Abul Fadl Abbas. Abul Fadl Abbas got the message from Amir Mumin alayhi salam. Obviously, Imam Ali will not be there in Karbala. And Abul Fadl Abbas has to do his role towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he did his role very well towards Mawla Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. You know, may our lives be sacrificed for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But we have one person in the entire history for whom we find that Imam Hussein, Mawla Imam Hussein himself has said that may my life be sacrificed on you. Benafsi Anta, the only person in the history for whom we find Mawla Imam Hussein has said, may my life be sacrificed on you, is Abul Fadl Abbas. Who can understand the greatness of Abul Fadl Abbas? When Imam Hussein says, may his life be sacrificed on him, about Abul Fadl Abbas, may my life be sacrificed on you, that means the whole, even if the whole universe is sacrificed for Abul Fadl Abbas, it is still less because Imam Hussein is superior than the universe. Look at the azamat of Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. We find Ayatollah Sibawayh, who used to read the Namaz al Jamaat in the Haram of Abul Fadl Abbas. He saw this in his dream about the musibat of Abul Fadl Abbas that you do not recite. He said, Mawla, which musibat did I do not recite? And then Abul Fadl Abbas said to him in the dream that when every shaheed in Karbala came down, they have their hands, but when I came drop down,
from the back of the horse, in other words. You know, I didn't have any hands. So all the arrows penetrated into my body once again. Look at the Azmat of Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. We find that Hazrat Ummul Baneen, when Bashir came to Medina, when this caravan arrives to Medina and starts giving the news of the Shahadat to the people of the city, Hazrat Ummul Baneen also came and she learned and she was told gradually about the Shahadat of four of her sons. Four sons became shaheed for this great lady, including Abul Fadl Abbas. But then she said to Bashir, قَدْ قَطَعْتَ نِيَاتَ قَلْبِي. یہ میرے لگے دل کو پارا کر دیا. That means you broke the nerve of my heart. Bashir says to Abul Baneen, what did I do? She said, you're not informing me about the real news. What happened to my son Hussein? And Bashir said, Imam Hussein was also killed in Karbala. When Hazrat Umm al-Baneen learns that, she turns towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. That Mawla, you were so proud of Abul Fadl Abbas. My Hussein got shaheed. But she said, please don't say that. As long as Abul Fadl Abbas was alive, he did not allow anything to happen to Imam Hussein. Look at the azmat of Abul Fadl Abbas. We find that Zainab had said that after the shahadat of Abul Fadl Abbas, that her baba, Amir Mu'mineen, used to kiss the hands of Hazrat Zainab. You know, these are the hands where the ropes will be tied. And now, obviously, now Hazrat Zainab realizes, this is the time. The time has arrived. See, Hazrat Zainab has a brother like Abul Fadl Abbas, who has the courage to put the ropes in the hands of Hazrat Zainab, who has a brother like Abul Fadl Abbas. But now the Abbas became shaheed. Now is the time has arrived that the ropes will be tied in the hand of Zainab. We find Ayatollah Sher Jafar Shustari had narrated that the only shaheed in Karbala who did not drink the Jame Kausar, the drink of the fountain of Kausar from the Prophet, he says, he did not reverse Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. Because when the Jame Kausar was brought, when the drink of the fountain Kausar was brought by the Prophet, Abul Fadl Abbas replied back, then how can he drink when Imam Hussein is thirsty? Look at the wafa of Abul Fadl Abbas. We find that some of the scholars have narrated, on the Day of Judgment, Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha will say, Kafana lishafa'ate yadane maktu'atane liwaladi al-Abbas. That means that it is enough for the shafa'at for us. It's enough for us, for the sake of shafa'at, the two cut off hands of my son Abbas.
على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بارلہ پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما، پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگو فرما، انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما، تمام علماء ربانیین، تمام مراجع کرام، بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار، تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما، تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما، تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما، تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما، بانیان مجلس کے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما، ان کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما، ہم اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائے، ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما، ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء قرار دے. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ محمد و آلہ المیمین. یا حسین،
یا حسین.